Disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, I don't know whether I feel older or younger this morning, 12 hours or something like that. Riding straight down the road, you put the car on cruise control, and then you just sit there like a zombie and just go. Thank my wife. She drove quite a bit. We're in Wisconsin. Michelle drove a big patch of it yesterday, which I got to yell at her a little bit while she drove. And Reggie was with us. Reggie rode up there with our dear friend Betty, who's continuing on to North Carolina, North Dakota from there. So Reggie jumped in with us, and we had quite a trip home yesterday. Got home, I don't know, I hit the bed, I don't know, late last night, got in. Wonderful. We had a really, really, really good weekend. You know, we've been doing a lot of these, we call them huddles, whatever we went through. You know, we did this tactical training. Chad was unbelievable. I don't know if Chad's up this morning or not. I hope, well, Bobby's up, so maybe Chad is too, because I want to talk a little bit about it. Chad and Bobby Lee were both fabulous. Jamie Walden was out of this world, as he always is. And we had about 100 people, I think. 100 people. We had the biggest prime rib cut of meat that I've ever had in my life for supper. 100. Some, this guy, I'm telling you, I didn't even know to show you how big it was. And everybody got one. It was all part of, somebody told me a cut of prime rib like that would probably be $30 in the store. We all got one of those on Saturday night. Rob and Lisa Pugh, that's where Michelle and I stayed at their house. It was good to see Rob and Lisa. Somebody's saying, move on. No, it's important. Some of this stuff it's important. I'm wearing a new shirt today given to me by Ray and Jane LeBlanc, who did an unbelievable job. Neil and Mary Leiby, that I believe it was the best one we've ever had. It says, and Jesus said, if you don't have an AR, sell your cloak and go buy one. Ray's got these shirts if you're interested in it. He gave me one yesterday. Wore it. Wanted to show that off here this morning. And I was greatly encouraged. Greatly. You know, we go to these events normally. There are crew. But in Wisconsin this weekend, it really wasn't our crew. It was guys who maybe, people who were there from reading the Wisconsin Christian News, or maybe Neil and Ray and those guys had stirred up their own crowd, whatever it was. But for the most part, maybe out of the 100 people, maybe there were only, I don't know, maybe 10 Salt and Light Brigaders. And so we were exposed to a whole new group of folks. It was marvelous. And Neil and Mary have this huge barn, and they put up a huge tent, and it was amazing. Good. Listen, I got hope. I still have hope. I still think we're going to win. Folks, do you know this? Do you know that everything is flowing against the devil worshipers? Everything. Thanks, sweetheart. Listen, as the evidence is coming out, more and more and more and more and more evidence is coming out, folks, they ain't winning. I'm telling you, they're not winning. The information is not on their side. So we're in, as Alex Jones would say, we're in an information war. And we're going to win this thing through continued information. And it was the information that was provided again by Bobby and Tim and Naomi and Jamie Walden and Bobby. The people were just blown up. See, they come to these events and they don't even really know why they come, right? They don't know. They're interested. They know something's wrong. And then they get the information. It's just remarkable. I don't want to talk too much about that, but I'm just trying to tell you this. There's something to this. Bobby and Chad stayed another week. They're going to Montana. They're going to do another one of these in Montana this weekend. Tactical trainings. We'd love to do one where you guys are. And, you know, the Embattled Warrior Tactical and Preparedness Training in Montana. I told Chad he's got to move. He's too. He's clear down there in Texas. He's way far away from everything. And he's way far away from Bobby. But they're doing some good stuff. And up there on the calendar, Betty's all excited. We're going to be out of Betty's place in St. Clairsville, Ohio. Yes, Betty came. Betty drove. We're going to be in the Eastern Ohio Salt and Light Brigade, August 14th from 10 to 4. It's just a one-dayer. If you're out there close to that, we'd love to see you there. The Kindred of the Kingdom Conference coming up. Clay, is that thing sold out still? I'm sure you're in here, right, Clay?
Yeah, I'm here, Coach. We got a couple of maybe two or three bedding spaces for men. We're pretty full up on the women on site.
But they can stay off site though, right, Clay? They could come and stay in a camper or a tent or maybe find a hotel room if they wanted to come. Still can do that?
Yes, but there's only probably about 10 spaces remaining before we'll probably be full up in the conference room. So okay, if folks, you want to come, need to hurry, folks. Be glad to have you.
It's going to be here before we know it, for sure. Looking forward to doing that. I'm looking at my notes here. I said Ray and Jane did an unbelievable job. John Diamond was up with Denny, our good buddy Denny Bryan up in, where's the name of that place? Oskaloosa. John drove up there and they had an event. How'd that go, Denny? Or somebody's Denny in here? John in here? Anybody in that way up there? I'm sure it was good as John was up. Folks, listen, we got people everywhere and it's expanding. And I got some exciting news to share with you, but I can't share it with you yet. So quickly, I'm trying to get my feet under me. Spencer, third from the bottom, Bards FM, bardsfm.com. This is coming up in St. Charles, Missouri, August 26th through the 29th. And I got an invitation yesterday to be part of that. I did, Ohio Brett did as well. This is a big three-day event. I don't even have... Search it out on your own, okay? I don't want to take time to talk about it, but it's a big deal in St. Louis, Missouri. And it's going to be teaching and training and some of the same kind of stuff that we do. There's a vast, vast awakening going on all across America. The left, the God-hating left, I believe, has overplayed their hand. Now, Jamie Walden did a great, great presentation where he told us that for his inside information that he has, the crackdown and all the clampdown on all this was supposed to be 2024. But because the resistance has been stronger than what they thought, they're going to try to hurry it and do it in 2021, 2022. So as we continue to raise up and push back against these forces of darkness, it's really, really important that we do so. So if some of you out there in that St. Louis, St. Charles, Missouri area, you might want to check out Bard's Fest. Come and be part of it. Dr. Mike Spalding's going to be there. Tom Dunn's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Again, it's great fellowship. Same thing, yada, yada, yada. Let me look at my notes here. Randy, let me go to Jeff Klein. Because Jeff Klein, for local people, Jeff Klein's got a camp out event going on this weekend. Talk about that a little bit, Jeff, what you guys are doing.
Coach, what we're doing is training up the youth. We basically do it's a boot camp type style thing. Pastor Bill's brother, retired drill sergeant out of the Army, has turned his property into this boot camp. I mean, we're teaching the kids gun safety, shooting guns. I mean, even some of these little kids, 6, 7 years old, teaching them this stuff. We got tables set up for it, targets. We got a rock wall climb, an 8-foot rock wall, a 23-foot rock wall. They can rappel back down this thing. Then they got an obstacle course. We got a pond with a zip line, fishing, paddle boats, all kinds of stuff and oceans. We'll be doing this Thursday night, Friday, and into Saturday. Break camp Saturday afternoon about 2 or 3. But it's basically dads bring your sons. Grandpas bring your grandsons. I even got a couple kids in town that just some kids want to go. You know, so we're opening this thing up. I think we've done 2 or 3 of them last summer. We've done one already this year. We'll do this one this weekend and probably another one or two yet this year. Trying to do 3 or 4 a year. It's a whole weekend of just, it's great time. The new guys that come bring kids, they're just amazed. And when you pull into the property, no cell phone service. Nobody can use a cell phone. No kids playing. It is great.
So, folks, if you're in the Ohio area and you're interested in that, you can get a hold of Jeff or get a hold of me on how you can be part of that. Even, you don't have to be there for the whole weekend. If you're a grandpa and you want to take your grandson with you there for an afternoon or whatever, you can go do that as well. So we all know we have to get the grandkids, right? We got to get the grandkids. Thanks, Jeff. Update on Randy. I haven't spoken to Randy. I've texted him. I've communicated with him. My wife has spoken to Randy's wife, Kay. Randy was taken to the emergency room. He's been, ever since he got back from when we were out in Anaheim, he'd been bad. He'd been off his feet bad. And then got to the point where he couldn't breathe. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? And so because he knew what he was doing, finally, Kay loaded him up and got him into the hospital. And they gave him some antibiotics and some other things and sent him back home. I don't know whether he demanded to go home or they sent him back home. And then he began to text me, hey, feeling better, coach, day by day, yada, yada, yada. I'm going to show you a picture. Randy still needs prayer, friends. We've said all along that this I don't like to call it COVID. Can I tell you why I don't like to call it COVID, friends? We know this. We know that the flu runs its course in about a year, a tops a year. That anytime you get a flu shot, the flu shot is last year's flu. The flu changes, it mutates, it evolves. Each year, there's a new flu strand. We are 2 years into COVID. This can't possibly be the same COVID that it was however long ago. It just can't be.
Amen. Amen.
But one of the things that's going on, folks, is I believe, as Dr. Sherry Tenpenny tells us, and as Mark, by the way, Mark, fabulous job on Friday. I'm going to get to that in a second. They tell us this thing called transmission. There's something going on that is not the typical catch the flu from somebody's saliva particles. This is something different that's gone on. And I shared with some of you that when I went to Montana, something hit me, man. I don't know what it was, but it wasn't a flu, but it was an aches and pains and yada, yada, yada. Well, Randy's kind of came as a form of lung congestion. Didn't get better. Went and got some antibiotics, been taking ivermectin. He's been taking, I think he's been taking hydroxychloroquine. He knows what's going on. Randy's in here. He knows what's going on. And still something jumped all over him. And I'm sure Randy's not going to care. Spencer, pull off that picture of what Randy sent me after he got home from the hospital. Folks, those are blood clots that Randy has coughed up. Now, let me tell you something, boys and girls. That ain't flu. I don't know what it is, but that isn't flu. And so whatever it is that's out there is very, very serious. It's not. You do know this, don't you, friends? That most of the people that are getting those who are getting hospitalized, many of them have already received the jab. They've already received it. So something really, really crazy going on, which leads me to a 2-minute video right off of this. Mark, I'm going to come to you here in a second. This video, it's 2 minutes, and it tells us the problem we're dealing with is blood clots. Dr. Charles Hoffe, whatever. Folks, this is about a 9-minute video. We're going to play it at double time, so it's going to be about 4.5 minutes. But again, one of the things we learned with dealing with Sherry Tenpenny and others is there is a, what do they call that? There is a blockade on information. You can't get the truth, friends. You cannot get the truth. And so the reason I said the left is in trouble is they have no way. How do they back down from the positions they've taken? Their only option is to double down. That's their only option. And all of the truth and all the facts and all the research is going against them. That's why it's my concern. I continue to say it. I'm expecting some type of false flag. I mean, they have to distract here, friends. They got to get our mind off all this information that's coming out regarding the election, the fraud in the election, the fraud from Fauci and all them. But this is well, this will be about 4.5 minutes at double time. but I really think it's valuable for you guys to be able to hear this. So Dr. Charles Hoff talking about blood clots, Randy, blood clots in regards to this, whatever this thing is. Go ahead.
You spoke to a potential mechanism of action of the injury. And you mentioned to me the use of a D-dimer test, which we all know what it's for, but we're going to have to explain a little bit. Could you please speak to this a little bit and give the relevant context and introduction, please? Because I think this is really groundbreaking and important.
Yes, yeah, thank you. So one of the key things that really bothered me when I started to see serious vaccine injuries in my own patients is that I had no idea what the mechanism of injury was. And therefore, as their doctor, I had no idea how to treat it. Because, you know, as their family doctor, they would come to me for help and I needed to help them. And I was clueless. I mean, this is an experiment. And I was aware that there was literally what we call iatrogenic disease, a medically induced disease being produced by this vaccine. And so I had asked this in my open letter to Dr. Bonnie Henry, our provincial health officer.
Slow it down. What is the mechanism? Slow it down to 1.75. That's just too fast. I'm sorry.
Injury and how do I treat this as these people's doctor? And of course, nobody knew. And the vaccine manufacturers had told us that the COVID spike protein does not go intravenous. It stays in the arm. The antibodies to the spike protein are produced in the arm. And that's what we had been found. But scientists now, and Dr. Brody has actually very clearly revealed this, that only 25% of the vaccine actually stays in the arm. And the rest of it, so these vaccines are a vast number of little messenger RNA strands. The Moderna vaccine has 40 trillion messenger RNA molecules per vaccine dose, 40 trillion. So these are wrapped in a little lipid capsule. The lipid capsule is to enable them to be absorbed into the cells. So this is injected into the person's arm in their deltoid muscle of the shoulder. From there, as I mentioned, only 25% actually stays there. The rest is taken up, collected through the lymphatic system and fed into the general circulation. And so it circulates around the entire body. And I think every doctor knows that absorption from the circulation occurs in capillary networks because that's where the blood slows right down. It's going through tiny vessels. So these little nanocapsules containing these trillions of messenger RNA molecules are absorbed into the lining around the capillaries, what medically we call the vascular endothelium. So these little packages are absorbed into the cells around the vessels. The packages open. The body recognizes these messenger RNA strands as a gene and gets to work making COVID spike proteins. So in a virus, those COVID spike proteins form part of the viral capsule. But the problem is they're not in a virus. They're in the cells around blood vessels. So as a result, they become part of the cell wall of that cell. So normally the cells that surround your blood vessels have to be very, very smooth to enable good and unimpeded flow of blood. But as soon as you've got all these little spike proteins that become part of the cell wall, it's now a rough surface. It's going to be like a very coarse sandpaper. It's now what the platelets are going to interpret as a damaged vessel. It's no longer smooth, it's rough. So clotting is inevitable because the platelets that come down that vessel are going to hit a rough spot and assume this must be a damaged vessel. This vessel needs to be blocked to stop the bleeding. That's how our clotting works. So clots are, because of this and because of the nature of this, clots are inevitable because of these spike proteins in the capillary networks. So I set out to then try and prove this.
Okay, go ahead and cut that off. Correct. We'll put it in the chat, Spence. So folks, you understand what he's saying? That blood clotting is one of the main issues that we're dealing with. People are dying because their blood's clotting and they're having heart attacks and they're having strokes and having other type of issues, which exactly looks to me is what happened with Randy. Now, nobody really has figured out what's going on with this stuff, right? That's why what Mark Trump did with us on Friday was a must listen. How do you see, Mark, what's going on, this clotting, this kind of, how does this all relate, Mark, from your standpoint? Is he there?
I think Bill Gates, when they did his testing, he found a lot of this out. They killed a bunch of children and people over in the Congo, wherever he did his initial testing. But like any antivirus, there's impact on the machine. So he's used to putting antivirus on computers. So whenever you put antivirus on, it takes over your machine and has side effects. Sound familiar? So here he is pushing this agenda. He's got the whole world to not test it before they do it. So I don't think anyone knows the outcome, Coach, until they do it. And now we're learning. But the big part of this is the genetic traits that are passed on. So they have no clue what the next generation will be like. They have no clue how this is modifying eggs and semen and making babies different. There is such a huge, huge, huge impact. I remember when all this started, we passed around something about, well, we won't chip you, we'll chip your children. If y'all don't want to chip, that's fine. We'll get your children. We'll just get your children and grandchildren. So I think that's the agenda, is to equip us with what's needed in the technology age to control us. And they're going to put it in the guise of healthcare and computer technology. So you get to connect, you get to have communication. And if you're not connected, then you'll be an outcast.
So, Mark, let me ask this. One thing Dr. Sherry Tenpenny spoke about is transmission. Mark, from a medical scientific standpoint, what does transmission look like? How does that work as opposed to shedding that word? Because I would believe, I don't know exactly what it is that Randy is dealing with, but I believe Randy has been, I'm not a scientist. Here's what I'm thinking. I think something gets transmitted to you. And let's say somebody put a battery in you. Let's use a battery as an illustration. Once that battery gets into you, then it runs its course before the battery goes dead. It might be 3 days. It might be 4 days. It might be 5 days. But this thing that has been transmitted into Randy has to run its course. Help me out here, Mark. What do you think?
Well, I mean, we know that we have a spirit. We know that we project our emotions, we project our thoughts in some ways out from our body. So once you get the vaccination, that field is encrypted with that vaccination code. So when you're around other people, they're going to receive that signal that's encoded in your bio, in your body.
Mark, most of the people getting sick, Mark, have been vaccinated, right? They have been vaccinated.
Well, it's a matter of believing it. When you're around somebody who's ill, like grumpy, it makes the whole room bad. Why? If you're around somebody who's happy, it makes the whole room happy. You know, there's a feeling that becomes intoxicating whenever people are projecting these feelings. Now, they've just taken that and they've encoded a virus on it. So now it's invisible. Prince of the power of the air. The devil's able to use our bodies as a transmitter to other people without us even knowing. I think that's what it's about.
Well, so again, friends, know this, Randy's been up to snuff on what's going on. He's taken ivermectin. Randy is protected and guarded himself, but brothers, something got in there somehow. It is what it is. I don't want to spend all of our time talking about that. Continue to pray for Randy. All right.
Can I ask Mark a question?
Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead. Sure.
Mark, this is like about covalence. If your frequency is solid and all your electron circuits are full, you won't be able to receive that evil electron that's trying to jump on you from those that are got this new jab, because their frequency is a freak frequency. If yours is solid and built, doesn't that make sense?
Boom, Jack.
Well, it could, or you could have 10 vaccinated people radiating on one unvaccinated person, making them sick. That could be possible too, Jack. So even though you don't have the crystal to tune into it, you're still getting radiated by those people. That's, yeah.
But you're inside your own bag. You're inside your own protective electron field if your field is correctly built. If you're solidly built, whether it's spiritual or physical, it's both. It's not just one or the other.
So, Mark,
armor of God should be able to help us here. Jack,
so, Mark,
right?
you said a term, Mark, that just jumped out at me, radiated. So when we're talking, instead of talking shedding or talking transmission, radiated, that's what's going on, isn't it? People
that's
are being
right.
radiated.
Radiation. That's right. It's human radiation.
And it's resulting in blood clotting, folks. That's what we're dealing with, man. Okay, Rochelle, come on in, then Craig, then Joe, then I want to, as always, have a point I want to make this morning. Go ahead, Rochelle.
Good morning, team. I'll be quick, Coach. I want you to get to where you're going. Here in Central Florida, everybody knows somebody who works for Disney. And Disney, I hear, has just mandated these shots for its employees.
Yep.
And also Walmart. I heard that their upper echelon and their managers all have to have their shots by October, and then it's just going to trickle down. And I really see how this can lead to, you know, you can't have an entry-level job anywhere. This is how it's going to lead to you can't buy or sell anything.
And not only that, Rochelle, I just saw this morning we're on the verge of 50,000 mortgage foreclosures.
Yeah, and they are ready to swoop in. The bankers are ready to swoop in and take all your stuff.
Yep, that's crazy what's going on. Bless you, dear. Come on in, Craig, then Joe. Hang on real quick, Craig. Hey, Chad, I want you to wake up because I'm going to ask you a question here. And I'm going to cause you to be thinking a little bit. So if you're in dream world, wake up. Go ahead, Craig.
Coach, I know you don't want to spend all time on this, but I put in the chat. Anogenesis Foundation. Okay. I sent you an email. I said, this is the smoking gun. This is where the research that this foundation started about 20 years ago came for, and they came across the blood vessel systems there. Okay. I've been saying endothelial cells over and over and over again, because this is exactly what's happening to Randy and others. It's the inside lining of every blood vessel, 60,000 miles of blood vessels in your body. The example from the guy, Dr. Lee, who is the founder of this organization, he said, we've all seen a hockey game, right? And you see the Zamboni come out and he makes it nice and smooth. Okay, well, that's what your blood vessels look like. Well, after COVID or this biohazard that they designed, okay, it looks like when the skates all cut that ice rink. That's what happens. And then you get these little pieces of pulp, you know, like in the orange juice, they break off. And what they do is they circulate through your system, okay? And when you get to a low flow blood area, not like a big artery, big vein, just these little teeny tiny ones where there's not much movement, it starts the clot process. It backs up. Just think if you had a piece of pulp and then all of a sudden it went through a little small tube. Then you start forming blood clots. This is what's going on, okay? And you don't have the flu in July when you're getting lots of vitamin D in your body, okay? Flus don't break out in July. They break out in the winter because vitamin D levels drop because people lose the vitamin D.
See, that's why Dr. Timpany said, come the fall when the flu season comes back around, watch out, folks. Watch out. We haven't even seen the beginning of this stuff. Thanks, Craig, because I'm sure we could go deeper on that. Joe Allen, then Jeff, and then I want to move on here. Go ahead, Joe.
So here lies the question. Do you lie in your house and hide and be a coward?
No.
Be fearful? Or do you get out there and be with the public? Everybody that goes out in the public, you take your chances.
That's right. Speak the truth.
Do you take your vitamins? Do you take your ivermectin? Do you take care of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
If you do these things, you go out in the public, you take a chance.
You always take a chance. Hey, wasn't anybody any more prepared than Randy? Did Randy get it in Anaheim? Did he get it on the plane? We don't know. Something was transmitted on Randy.
That's the bottom line. Do you wash your hands? Do you keep your hands away from your face, Coach? You know?
No, I don't. But see, on the airplane is what Dr. Tenpenny warned me, wear long sleeves, wear long pants.
Right.
That's a dangerous place to be. You're being transmitted. Good word, Joe. Come on in, Jeff, then Kevin, real quickly.
Coach, update on Ricky Miller. Tuesday night, he was at church in the garage with no oxygen tank. Friday and Saturday, both days, at the car lot, drove himself. He's back to the car lot hanging out after 3 or 4 months. Then he came to church with Vicky, his wife, Sunday, who was sitting in the front row with us, and they just turned the whole morning service over to Ricky. He got to speak to everybody, and few of us got to speak. Wow. It was a great day.
Dead man walking right there, folks. That's a dead man walking. Come on in, Kevin.
You said 50,000 foreclosures, Coach. It's actually 52 million.
52 million foreclosures.
You're talking one out of every 4.5 homes across this country where 90 days past due or more on their mortgages and that was back at the end of March. The moratorium ended yesterday.
That's what I said. That's crap's about ready to hit the fifth. How many was that again, Kevin? How many, Kevin?
52 million.
Foreclosures.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Guess who's going to own that property?
That's right, brother. Huh? That's right.
Just want to point out, somebody put in a chat, you can no longer get vitamin D milk. Think about that. Why would they take vitamin D out of milk? Makes no sense, does it, Coach?
Oh, yes, it does if you know what the game is, right? If you know what the game is. I want to talk about fear here a minute. I want to talk about it. Chad, you get awake over there, okay? Chad, I want you to talk 10 days, 10 hours, 10 minutes, 10 seconds. Well, Chad made a great presentation. Chad was almost like a preacher yesterday. It was amazing Sunday morning service. But I want you, if you could, Spence, pull up Fear Hath Torment. Is Silver in here? I can't see it, Joe. I don't know if you're in here or not. You're always in here, but for whatever, you're not popping up on my screen.
I'm here.
All right, brother. Just start reading 1 John 4 for us here, folks. Because, again, it's fear. It's fear. We're dealing with fear. Now, I see Doc Jen. Doc Jen, I don't know if you're laying in bed. I don't know if you're putting your makeup on. I don't know what you're doing, Doc Jen. But if you could you please come in again and explain to us, as you said yesterday, that the default position in the brain gets programmed to fear. Could you go over that again, Doc? Let's see if she can jump in here with us. Your fallback, your default, she says 5-10 minutes. She's with a client. Okay, Jen, we'll get back to you on that, okay? Because, folks, listen, the fear is paralyzing, man. It's paralyzing. So when Doc Jen gets back in, we'll get her in here because I think it's really, really important. But I want Joe to read about fear in 1 John 4. So, Joe, go ahead and read that. Folks, this is what we're dealing with. This is what we're dealing with all across the fruited plain. Go ahead, Joe.
1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Wait a minute. Go ahead.
Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God.
Okay.
And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now, already, is it in the world.
Okay, let me stop there. I want you guys to think about this because I was having a conversation. I think it was with Reg. You had so many conversations. I want you to think about this. Think about how many people in Minnesota voted for Keith Ellison, a Muslim, to rule over them, folks. Are you listening to me? That Tlaib lady, people who do not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Think how many people that we have who are ruling over us today who have that spirit of Antichrist. What? They do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is important for us to understand. You think Bill Gates is confessing? You think Fauci is confessing that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? You think Joe Biden is? Oh, he goes to church. He might call himself a Catholic. Do you think he's confessing that? And so we ask ourselves, how did those of us who believe in the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God, that Jesus Christ did raise from the dead, that we confess that Jesus Christ is God, how come we're not in positions of authority? How did we yield these positions of authority to people who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh? Well, it's the separation of church and state, right? They told us we're not allowed to. Verse 4, keep going, Joe.
Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Wow.
They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them.
So folks, do you get this? Do you get what he just said? They are of the world. Why? They don't confess that Jesus has come in the flesh. They don't confess Christ. They don't confess him. Now, they may say his name, but they don't live him out. And why? They are of the world. They speak of the world. And the world hears them. We're talking about, I hate to tell you, churchgoers voted for Barack Obama. I still get in arguments with people who think Barack Obama was a Christian. Anybody ever hear him claim the name of Christ? Come on. Good, Joe.
We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us.
Wow, this is so clear, isn't it?
Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
How do we know the spirit of truth, the spirit of error? When we hear God and he hears us. That's how we know.
Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God.
Time out, Larry. Are we supposed to be loving those who are of the world? I don't want to misread this, and I don't want to throw over all your whole life's theology, but I think this is saying that we're supposed to love those who hear God's voice. Now, we're supposed to have a general love and concern for people. Don't get me wrong. And we want people to come and see the Lord. But if we think that Almighty God treats the unsaved the same way he treats the saved, do you treat your children the same way you treat some neighbor kid down the road you don't even know? Oh, you may be concerned about the neighbor kid down the road, but do you provide everything for that kid down the road? Well, the government does, I guess. Of course not. Of course not. Sonship has its advantages. Keep going, Joe.
He that loveth not knoweth not God.
Wow.
For God is love. And this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins.
God loved us so much he made a sacrifice for us. That's the great expression. I'm going someplace. Keep going, Joe.
Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another.
Hey, Joe, who's he writing this to? He said, calls him beloved. Is he standing down on the street corner talking to everybody?
No.
He's talking to beloved, okay? He's talking to the family of God. That's who he's speaking to. Go ahead.
No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit.
Wow.
And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world.
Do you guys testify to that? If you testify to that, then you're a child of God. You're a Amen. Child of God, right? There's a separation here, folks. John's showing us a very, very clear separation here. Go ahead.
Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God.
Larry, what if they don't confess that Jesus is the Son of God? Does God dwell in them? And no, I don't think so. I think it's conditional.
And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him.
Okay, here we go. Go ahead, Joe.
Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world.
Let's get to the fear part, Joe.
There is no fear in love.
Say that again, Joe.
There is no fear in love. But perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment.
Wow, can somebody say amen right there? Can somebody say amen right there? If you are being tormented by fear, you have to know that is not from the Lord. You wouldn't torment your own children. You wouldn't scare your own children. You wouldn't purposely bring anything into your house that would cause torment to your children. And yet we're children of God, and he tells us that fear hath torment, and most of the world is controlled by fear. The church is controlled by fear. Go on, Joe.
He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also.
I'm going to make a confession here. Thanks, Joe. I don't love Hillary Clinton. I pray she gets saved. I don't love Hillary Clinton. I'm going to tell you something else. I don't love Barack Obama. I pray he gets saved, but I don't love him. And I don't consider him to be part of the family. I consider him to be an enemy of the cross. Anybody with me? Anybody out there with me other than this? Can you be neutral against Jesus? Can you have a neutral position? See, I don't think you can, because the Bible says somewhere you are either for me or you are against me. You either gather or you scatter. You can't, folks, there is no demilitarized zone. There is no fence. Or no. Somebody said to me, if there is a fence, the devil owns the fence. Now, Doc Jen's free. I want to get her in here. Jennifer, thanks for coming in. Explain again how that default position in our mind is a default position of fear. How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everyone. So we have in our brain a system. It's called the limbic system. Part of that limbic system is an organ called the amygdala. The amygdala is our emotional processing system. What we know now is that amygdala can process fear before we even realize that there's something to be fearful of. And that is triggered by something that we see most often. That's why programming and television programs and all these sort of things are so prevalent, I think, right now. Because if we see something that we have an emotional connection of fear to, that will drive and train an emotional construct of fear throughout the rest of the body.
That's the default position, right, Doc?
That's correct.
It happens and you don't even know it happens.
Right.
You've been stimulated to the point, as soon as you see it, fear rises and you haven't even thought it through yet.
Right. So if you have a snake, if you don't know that there's something to be scared of, then you're not scared. But if something happens, you have, you've been bit by a snake, or somebody tells you to be afraid of a snake, then you see a snake and you're afraid of the snake.
Mm-hmm.
But as we get older and our prefrontal cortex, the brain starts to develop, we have the ability to say, we're going to take that fear captive. We're going to take that thought captive, and we can process it. And if we stop that, then the amygdala actually doesn't go through this process as much. We still have to choose to stop that fear processing. And then we don't have this whole process of the adrenaline going and the all the emotional processing that starts to drive that physical, that fight or flight process that happens.
Can that be reprogrammed, Doc?
That can be reprogrammed. We've seen it in PTSD. So people who have that diagnosis of PTSD have been found to have a larger amygdala, because that amygdala is processing that fear constantly. So it's been enlarged. But people who then go into nurturing environments, who learn to take captive that fear, that amygdala will start to shrink, go back to normal size.
No, Jen, I remember I was standing, this about 20 years ago, I was coaching baseball, and I was standing with one of the parents, and we were having a discussion, and a helicopter flew over. And just out of nowhere, he says, oh, God, I hate that sound. That's what you're talking about, right? That thing, boom, immediately, as soon as he heard that sound, thoughts of Vietnam came back into his brain, right?
Correct.
So we have to learn how to take captive that thought, somehow be reprogrammed to have a controlled don't react in fear. Don't let fear motivate us, right, Doc?
Yes, a non-emotional. So initially, we're going to have that primal fear rise up because we have an emotional connection to a memory. So we have to take that moment and say, am I actually in a place where I need to be fearful? It's because we can't just say, is this true? Because in our primal part of our brain, it is true in that moment. We have to say, is this 100% provable 100% of the time? Is that helicopter really a threat to me right now?
Right. And so then the question remains, even though this is fearful, am I going to remain fearful in this situation? Or am I going to overcome? Because the Bible says perfect love casteth out fear. And how many of you folks right here right now, if you saw your child or your grandchild or your spouse in imminent danger, how many of you would overcome fear and go and rescue them? Well, we know that you would try, right? So fear can be conquered and can be overcome, but we have to understand the emotional, mental connection when Jesus said to us, take captive every salt that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And if I were to sit down with 100 and whatever people that are in here today, and you would be gut honest, I bet you 75% of us, all of us, are tormented by fear. Anybody raise your hand and say, yep, that's me, Coach. Sometimes that stuff comes on me. I don't even know where it comes from. Hey, Doc, where does it come from?
Well, the spirit of fear is, we know where the spirit of fear comes from, but the emotional processing of the fear, we train it. I think the spirit of fear likes to hit children early on because we don't have that ability yet to say, is this something that I need to be fearful of? In childhood, we're supposed to be nurtured. We're supposed to be built up. Some children don't have that. So they are hit early on with these different circumstances. And then that process begins, that training of fear begins. And then you see that later on in life, those people who have not had that nurturing and love in childhood become people who are anxious, become depressed, become people who are addicted.
Abandonment, a little kid thinking there's a monster in his closet or a monster under his bed. It certainly has to be some type of pre-programming, spirit of fear, whatever. Doc, Jen, thanks. Thanks. I know you're busy. Thanks.
Yes,
thanks
sir.
For sharing that with us. Okay, Dale wants to get in here real quickly because I'm going to get Chad in here. Go ahead, Dale.
Brother, can't get quicker than this. Break it down, Laity. Fear is a frequency.
It's a frequency. It is a frequency. Yes, it is. Becoming more and more aware of that. I got another story I could tell, but I won't tell it right now. Rochelle, quickly, and Joe. Hands up. Yeah.
Hey, yes. I wanted to say regarding what Doc Jen had said about fear, a lot of this is given to us through predictive programming. We all have heard how the Rockefeller Foundation, they fund these scenarios and war games. That's just a brilliant scheme of predicted programming. They did this for coronavirus.
Amen. So friends, listen, fear is normal. There's nothing wrong with being afraid, but there's something very wrong with staying afraid. You understand the difference in those two things? Fear is a protection. It's good, but not a spirit of fear, which is what Doc Jen was talking about. Come on in, Joe, then a gunslinger. We'll get him in here, too.
So how many days a year we have?
365 and a quarter.
How many times is fear mentioned in the Bible?
That's right. But, Joe, it's the application of it, man. It's the application of not – it's easy to say don't be afraid when you're afraid. Because why? Right. Fear hath torment, right?
It's like flat earthers out there afraid to travel. Because they're afraid to fall off the side of the earth.
You're going to start a fight. Come on in, Sam.
Hey, I want to read a quick verse out of 106th Psalm, 29th verse. Thus they provoked him to anger with their inventions, and the plague brake in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and so the plague was stayed. I think it's great to use our faith against any attack that comes, but you know, we have to ask, why is the plague breaking in on us? And a lot of times it's our refusal to sling iron. This goes on. They didn't execute judgment. You know, Phinehas was an assassin. The story's in Numbers 25. Goes on, 34. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. So see, it's our excess of grace that has got this whole thing going.
Amen.
And then
brother.
It goes on. Therefore was the wrath of the Lord kindled against his people in so much that he abhorred his own inheritance and he gave them into the hand of the heathen and they that hated them ruled over them. So Coach, you brought up a point 15 minutes ago. How do we let this happen to get people like Hillary and Barack Obama? And it was the church that put Barack Obama in. Sometime we'll get to talk more about that maybe, but it absolutely was the church. There was COINTELPRO operations against the black church, small works in the inner city that have been doing the work for years. Thousands of them were destroyed by the FBI. And then, boom, what was left of the black church brings Obama in. And then this verse happens. They that hated them ruled over them. We got to be a little bit more aggressive. You know, we got nobody to blame but ourselves because we've let these people to rise up. And now those that hate us rule over us.
Wow, that's Numbers 25. Is that what was Sam? That you said?
That's Psalm 106, And the reference of Phinehas is in Numbers 25.
Psalm 106. I'm going to follow up. Thanks, Sam. Quickly, Betty, let's get Betty in there. Betty, we're praying for you, man, out there all by yourself, praying for safety for you, dear.
Yep, I just found out another cousin got the jab, and he said it's fine. So, but anyway, I want to thank everybody who was involved with that event. It was awesome. But I want to just say a quick thing about how they're putting people in fear. I was going through Minneapolis, and I had tried to send pictures while I was driving. Sad, bad Betty. But its first sign said, quality air matters, reduce frequent travel. Then all the next signs over the bridge said, air quality alert, consider reducing trips. They're putting fear in those people up
there. Everywhere you look, baby. Fear sells, Betty.
Thank you, great speakers.
Bless you, Betty. Mark, Mark, real quick, and then I'm going. Then I got to show. So go ahead, Chad. Get ready. Go to queue you up here.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on Sam's comment. He mentioned Psalms 106. There's a couple points here that are applicable. The continuum of that story is whenever God's people mingled with the inhabitants, they were supposed to kill all the men, women. God sent his people in to kill all the men, women, and children in Psalms 106. What did we do? We mingled. We adopted their customs. Then what did God do, Sam? He opened the earth up and he burned everybody up in the Shinar region. He killed his inheritance. God did. He killed his own people. The other piece of this, Sam's word mingle. Look it up in interlinear. You know what the word mingle is? In Hebrew, the word is Arab, A-R-A-B, which we invited to Minnesota. We invited mingled people that God wanted to kill, all the men, women, and children, into Minnesota, Coach.
Well, you're going to be on right.
I'm not making this up.
You're going to be on right wing watch tomorrow, buddy. I get you, man. I get you. Mingled people. I got it. Listen, I got to roll. Roger, real quick. Roger's the last one, and then Chad's coming in. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, Mike Adams and Alex Jones had a good program on Sunday about much of what we're talking about today.
Wow, cool. We can't be afraid to say it. Okay, Chad, come on in here. Bobby elbowing, make sure he's sitting up in bed so he can talk to us. You got 8 minutes, Chad. Chad, I want you to talk about the powerful statements you made yesterday. 10 days, 10 hours, 10 minutes, and 10 seconds. Can you do that real quick, Chad?
Well, sure. What I talked about was the 10 seconds was it takes to from someone to start to behead you till you fall limp. And then the Lord's up there. And if you try to save yourself, so you say, no, I'll deny Christ. Don't cut my head off. And then on judgment day, you're standing there and the Lord has his hand on his heart. And he just said, you couldn't even endure from me for 10 seconds. Can even hang in there for 10 seconds. My son hung on the cross for 3.5 hours, and you couldn't give me 10 seconds. So let's scroll over down to Revelation 2 for 10 days. You'll be all kinds of torture, if you can imagine all that. 10 days, hammering your fingers off, raping you, beating you, punching you, pulling your teeth out.
Right there, friend. Verse 10.
Verse 10.
It says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you the crown of life. So Chad got a stopwatch out, and he watched a video of some guy getting his head cut off. And from the time the guy was alive to his head was cut off, Chad said it was 10 seconds. Boom, 10 seconds. And then the Lord makes us aware of be able to survive for 10 days. The tribulation is going to last 10 days. Can you make it? Can you be faithful unto death for 10 days? Can you go ahead, Chad?
Well, that's right. It's 240 hours. And guess what? Your captors are not going to tell you, oh, you made it through day one. They're not going to tell you that. You're going to have no concept of time. No concept of time. And you just don't want to quit on that 239th hour. That 239th hour and 58 seconds. You know, you're
or 58 minutes. You're almost there, and you just at the last. You just have to be prepared, have your mind prepared, have your loved ones brought in front of you, and they doing something to them to cause you to deny Christ. We have to get our minds toughened because, look, we cannot afford to have escapism, which is the rapture, or that we're going to be treated like Stephen, the first martyr, that the Lord will remove us before that time comes. We just can't have, if it happens, then we're good to go. We don't have to practice anything. We don't have to do anything. But our mind needs to be the worst case scenario. We need to be preparing for that and getting our head ready, not in fear, but in courage, within strength and honor and dignity and in faith. And this is where we have to stand. We have to stand and be prepared and set the example. Many, many other people ahead of us have already been killed, and entire villages have seen their faith and have turned from Muslim to Christ. Entire villages. So it was just on me. Nobody's business. I lost my voice this whole weekend. So thanks for the opportunity, Coach.
So the Bible says that he that endures to the end. And Chad, you say sometimes that's going to be 10 seconds. Sometimes it's going to be 10 days. Maybe it'll be 10 weeks. Whatever it would be, at the end of that period of time, whatever that thing is, are you going to endure? At what point are you going to give up? At what time are you going to throw in the towel? And if you think about much of what we're dealing with now, folks, we're not even dealing with persecution. Persecution today is they won't be your Facebook friend, or they'll make a bad comment about you on Facebook. We're not really even facing real persecution yet. So can you walk into a school board meeting and say something for 3 minutes and then endure 3 minutes of persecution afterwards? Is your heart prepared to do something even as simple as that? Is your heart prepared to do the fearful thing as to maybe go confront your pastor?
Well, Dave, one of the
your heart's beating fast. You don't want to do it. You can't endure that fear you can't endure that for 10 minutes. Go ahead, Chad.
Well, one of the things the motto was, is that the church is raising up kittens and it needs to be raising up lions.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett Bowl got it. I mean, Ohio Brett got in there. I mean, he laid some pipe on that Friday night. Okay. And set the whole tone for the thing. And so this is what we need to realize. Look, we have to toughen up mentally. That's our whole fight is in our mind. We have to be prepared to, when we see this deception, to rebuke it and come against it. What does Marzulli say? Don't question it. First thing to do is rebuke it and then figure it out what it is. So anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. Yes. Yeah, so folks, stand up and face the fear. Now, listen, I'm not talking about running into Betty's dog. He's growling at you. That's not what I'm talking about. But this false evidence that appears real, this fear, this spirit that comes upon you that scares you into, again, default position, Doc Jen says. Default position is, first thing that happens, I'm not going to say anything. No, you have to overcome that. Perfect love casteth out fear. If you care about those little kids that are being indoctrinated into homosexuality, then you will speak. You will walk through that facade of fear and speak. What, Chad? 10 seconds? 10 minutes? 10 hours? How long is the persecution going to last? And for whatever reason, we've reached a point in the church where we don't want any persecution at all, even though the Bible says the more they persecuted them, the more they prospered and grew. Why? Because persecution produces courage. Courage is contagious. Courage calls others into battle. Come on in there, gunslinger, real quick. Then Reggie, your hand's up. I assumed you wanted to, Sam.
I think I left my hand up from before.
Okay, brother.
But,
okay.
I do have something here. The Lord poureth contempt upon princes and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. You know, we need to be looking for solutions. And the fact is, we can pray and the Lord will bring down our adversaries, even if they're high, high, high up. So let's do that.
We know that, Sam. They were his adversaries. They're not ours. Go ahead, Reggie.
Good morning, Coach. Yes, it was great this weekend. We had some really great speakers. One of the things, I wasn't going to say anything, but it kind of caught my attention in the chat. People were, discussing the sorrow over the people who have been vaccinated, and people will call me cold, but I actually don't have sorrow. I pray for them, but they knew. Everybody has enough information. And somebody said, you know, I made a comment that it would get worse. It's going to get worse. You need to prepare your mind, like this fear, get overcome this fear, get over this sorrowing and this grieving, because you're going to see some awful things. I saw a girl with her head almost severed off. People don't know what horror is. They haven't seen it yet. They don't know. They need to start preparing. You need to start preparing.
Prepare your heart for what's coming. Quit. Oh my goodness. I got more. Guys, I'm out of time. Perfect love casteth out fear. Fear hath torment. We are most unlike Christ when we cower in fear. That's why Revelation 21:8, the fearful and unbelieving go first. God bless. See you tomorrow.